So thank you very much for coming together for this evening program of Bhagavad Gita class. It's so wonderful to have a temple where people come again in the evening, not just in the morning, but again in the evening for Bhagavad Gita class. Srila Prabhupada called it sandwich program. You have a nice morning program, you arm yourself with spiritual armor, then you go out, you do some nice service for Krishna, then you come back, and then you have evening class, read Krishna book, drink hot milk, dream of Krishna, go to bed. Nice program, huh? So we are continuing our Bhagavad Gita series. We are in chapter 11, the universal form of the Lord, and we are on verse number 7. Is that right?
Yes.
11, 7. Okay, very good. So it's on the board? Okay. So please repeat if you would like. Ihai kastam jagat krishnam. Pashyadya sa characharam. Mama dehe gudakesha. Yachanya drashtum ichasi. So let's do word for word. Iha, in this. Ekastham, in one place. Jagat, the universe. Kritsnam, completely. Pashya, see. Adya, immediately. Sa, with. Chara, the moving. Acharam, and not moving. Mama, my. Dehe, in this body. Gudakesh, O Arjuna. Yat, that which. Cha, also. Anyat, other. Drashtum, to see. Ichasi, you wish. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. O Arjun, whatever you wish to see, behold at once in this body of mine. This universal form can show you whatever you now desire to see and whatever you may want to see in the future. Everything, moving and non-moving, is here completely in one place. Please repeat. O Arjuna, whatever you wish to see, behold at once in this body of mine. This universal form can show you whatever you now desire to see and whatever you may want to see in the future. Everything, moving and non-moving, is here completely in one place. Purport. No one can see the entire universe while sitting in one place. Even the most advanced scientist cannot see what is going on in other parts of the universe. But a devotee like Arjun can see everything that exists in any part of the universe. Why? Because Krishna is giving him that power. Krishna gives him the power to see anything he wants to see, past, present, and future. Thus, by the mercy of Krishna, Arjun is able to see everything. I offer my humble obeisances, especially to my senior devotees, humbly begging them to please bless me with their merciful blessings. I may have a little power to speak a little something on this very beautiful verse of the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, universal form. This is such a terrifying spectacle, actually, which is going to happen now. And Krishna is preparing Arjuna to see this universal form where everything, all the universes, all the planets, all the seas, skies, mountains, rivers, rivulets, trees, you name it, everything, Krishna is going to show him as in him, because everything rests upon Krishna. Krishna says, everything rests upon me like pearls are strung on a thread. Has anyone admired a beautiful pearl necklace? You see how nice it is, isn't it? It is one pearl after another pearl after another pearl, and you admire it because it's so beautiful. But what is holding it? There's a thread holding it all together. If that thread were not there, the pearls would just scatter here and there, and you know, we wouldn't be able to appreciate. So Krishna is saying, everything, matapartaran nanyat, kinchit asti dhananjaya, maidam sarvaprotam, sutre mani gana iva. My dear Arjuna, there is no more truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. So everything is resting in Krishna, because Krishna is the source of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante ban buddha bhava samanvita. Everything emanates from me. All material and spiritual worlds emanate from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my loving devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So you all are very wise, isn't it? You have come to Krishna's devotional service. Jai! This is actually the perfection of intelligence. This is actually the perfection of wisdom. Where do we repose our love? Where do we repose our devotion? Where do we repose our intelligence? Where do we repose our abilities? The best place is at the lotus feet of Krishna. And we have received this wonderful, matchless gift of devotional service because of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And because Srila Prabhupada has come from the spiritual world to give us this knowledge of who we are, where we belong, what is this material manifestation, what is the spiritual world. Did we know all these things? Did we know anything about Krishna? Did we know who we really were? What were we doing before we came to Krishna consciousness? Just the same old sense gratification, trying to get something here, something there, something there. But by the mercy of the pure devotee, we have come to the platform of knowledge. And once we come to the platform of knowledge, then what happens? We want to attain the perfection. And what is that perfection? To become a blissful, self-realized soul, part and parcel of Krishna. Non-different in terms of quality, eternal, blissful, full of knowledge, and lovingly rendering service to Krishna, because that is who I am. Ekale Ishvara Krishna, Arasaba Britya. There is only one controller, Krishna, and everyone is his servant. That's who I am. I am not Brahmana, I am not Vaishya, I am not Shudra, I am not Grihastha, I am not Brahmachari, I am not Vanaprastha, I am not this, I am not. Krishna says very clearly, Lord Chaitanya says, who am I? I am simply the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis, many times removed. Srila Prabhupada said, 100 times removed. So we want to become humble servants of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Amanitvam adambitvam. Humility, pridelessness. These are the only ways we can approach God. There is no other way to approach Krishna. It's not possible. Because God is great and we are small. Where's the question? And this important point will help us to move further in our Krishna consciousness. Because we all come in to Krishna consciousness, you know, oh, I'm something great. I'm smart. I've got it all figured out. Look at me. I'm so powerful. Look at my muscles. Look at my political connection. Look at my wealth. Look at my qualification. Look at this. Look at that. We think, you know, all these things. Actually, they are encumbrances, because the false ego gets activated if you have too many opulences. So it's actually much better to be a simple, humble devotee so that you can easily take part in this process of Krishna consciousness without too many ego problems, as we say. Right? If we have some abilities, then we think, oh, I'm something great. This is actually a stumbling block. Actually, Mother Kunti says this, Twama Kinchana Gocharam in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.26, she says, Janmaishwarya Shrutashri Bhir Idamana Madapuman Naivharati Abhidatum Vai Twam Akinchara Gocharam. My dear Lord Krishna, you are easily approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is still trying to improve himself with, proudly of his parentage or bodily luster or material acquisitions and connections and so on, cannot call out very feelingly, Govinda. It's when we finally give up all material ways to be, we're trying so many things to be happy in this material world, isn't it? I will change my job. I will change my location. I will change my partner. I will change my hairstyle. I'll maybe get some cosmetic surgery. I will have a makeover. I will buy a new set of, I'll have a wardrobe makeover. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll do that. I'll do that. I'll do that. We have tried and tried and tried and tried so hard to be happy. And in so many lifetimes and in so many ways we have tried. What has happened? Another birth. And again we try the same thing. But when we come to the point of knowledge, we understand real happiness is in reviving my loving devotion to Krishna. That is where my real happiness lies. That is where I can find perfection. My soul longs for love, perfect love. But it's not possible. And because we are all fallible on this level, you may have the most wonderful mother, father, sister, friend, boyfriend, husband, wife, this, that. Limited. But Krishna can give you limitless love because he's an ocean of love. Right? And so we want to repose our love in the best place possible, the lotus feet of Krishna, because he is the ocean of rasas. And his love is, and your love will be perfectly reciprocated by Krishna. Why? He's supremely powerful. Look at what is saying over here. Everything is in me. Everything rests in me. There is no more superior truth to me. You have come to the right place. No more searching. Isn't that wonderful? Finally, we have come to Krishna. And by engaging in this process, by revelation, we will understand more and more, my dear brothers and sisters, how much Krishna loves us. How much Krishna wants us to be happy. How much Krishna wants the best for us. He doesn't just, throw us over here in this material world and say, good luck. Even though we have rebelled against him, even though we are envious of him, even though we did not want him to be the center, we wanted to be center. And so we came here, fallen from grace to this material world. Still, Krishna doesn't give up on us. Krishna is accompanying us life after life after life, saying, I'm here, turn to me, I'll always be with you. And in me, you can find complete peace and happiness. So Krishna is just waiting. While we turn our face away and we try everything else first. And finally, when we are materially exhausted, we realize, yes, Krishna, you are everything. And only you can make me completely happy. Because you are the source of all happiness. You are the source of all love. You are the ocean of rasas. And just imagine, only you can give that special flavor of love that is in your heart. Nobody else can give that same flavor. You have a unique relationship with Krishna because you're a unique child of Krishna. You're special. And he wants to taste that love which is in your heart. And he's so greedy, he will do anything to get that love. And we want to give our love to Krishna. It's the best place to give our love. So Arjuna is getting a glimpse into the greatness of Krishna, how wonderful Krishna is and how everything rests upon him. Even though he did not realize it before. He was just joking with Krishna. He was just teasing Krishna. Sometimes he was even just being, you know, silly, like how you are with friends. But this is the Lord himself. And so later on he apologizes. I am so sorry that I treated you very informally. You are the Lord. And I have just treated you just like an ordinary friend. Please forgive me. Please forgive all that I have said in jest as we lay or sat on the bed or relaxed in front of others and sometimes alone. But please forgive me for my lack of etiquette because he is the Lord. But still Krishna is so merciful and so forgiving and so kind and so compassionate because he wants his devotee Arjun to have no illusions. Exactly what is the plan? You are to be an instrument for my desire to finish all these warriors on the battlefield. And you are nothing but an instrument. They are already killed by my arrangement. And you, O Savyasachi, can simply be an instrument in the fight. So Krishna wants to empower his devotee. He wants to give him courage. He wants to give him real vision of who he is and what he wants so that there is no ambiguity. Oh, I guess I didn't understand your plan, Krishna. No, no ambiguity. Get it clear. I want all of them killed. In fact, they are already killed by my arrangement. You are just an instrument. So Krishna gives him divine vision to see everything. Whatever he may wish to see now, whatever he may wish to see in future, so that there is no doubt about who is Krishna, what is his power, and what is his plan. So we want to be like that, right? We want to be very clear. Krishna, what is your plan for my life? How am I supposed to be your instrument in this great mission of Krishna consciousness? Because then all our energies, all our talents, all our capabilities are in perfect alignment with Krishna's plan. We can be most effective. We can be most efficient. We can use our energy, our time, our talents, our capabilities to do the best thing possible, Krishna's plan. So thank you very much. I think I will keep it short and sweet so that we can open up for comments, for discussion, for corrections, because I may not have said some things correctly. So my seniors can correct me. And that way everybody will have a clear understanding. But the whole point of a short and sweet class is because I want audience participation, I want you to share your realizations, and that's called churning the nectar. Is that all right? Is that okay? Short class? Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I welcome comments. I welcome your realizations. And I would like to hear from you. Yes.
Thank you very much for inspiring lecture. Could I please ask, when you mentioned that it would be very nice for us to know Krishna's plan for our life, mm-hmm. Could I ask how can we find out what is Krishna's plan for our life?
Very good question. Very intelligent question, because a man or a woman of intelligence and doesn't want to live like a stork with its head in the sand, you know, and think, oh, everything is just going to happen just by itself. So we want to use our intelligence and we want to find out, Krishna, what is your plan for my life? And the means to find that out is by approaching a bona fide spiritual master, by humbly submitting to the spiritual master. Tad vidhi paranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So the bona fide spiritual master is the mercy manifestation of Krishna in this material world. He has come specially from the spiritual world to this terrible material world just to save us. Just to take us back to Krishna. This is the mercy of the pure devotee of the Lord. And because he is in direct connection with Krishna, he understands your psychological, biological, physiological nature. He understands your propensities. He understands what is the best varna for you, what is the best ashram for you, what is the best service for you. And he will be able, he or she, nowadays we have ladies also, right? They will be able to guide you nicely on your path of bhakti because they are empowered by the Lord to perform that service. So you would want to know what is Krishna's plan for your life by approaching a bona fide spiritual master. Is that okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Beautiful question. Yes. Sabina.
Hare Krishna, Ashridevi, thank you very much for this wonderful lecture. I was wondering regarding our purpose and mission in life according to our varna. In Shastra it is said that in this Kali age we're actually all on the level of Shudras. And but still maybe there are some qualifications and qualities in ourselves that according to our abilities are more prominent. So I would like to ask whether it's more important to find out about these qualities and actually make them prominent and serve Krishna according to our abilities and qualities, or we can still serve more like in Sanatana Dharma way, like, you know, just do any job if it's needed and just be a servant of the servant of the servant. Or it's supposed to be like more, I'm doing this and, I mean, you understand the question?
I think I'm understanding the question. You're asking that whether, because we are all supposed to be, you know, Kalo Shudra Sabhava, everyone is like Shudra, whether we just accept any service, whatever it is, and just do it, or we try to perfect according to our talents and capacities. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Well, in the initial stages, when we first join bhakti, our attitude must be, any service you give me, I am so happy simply engaging in that service. Because we are still seeing where we are in the process of bhakti. We are still not very sure about what we can offer. People, especially our spiritual master, observes us. There is a testing period where the guru tests the disciple tests the guru. And so during that time, the guru will be able to see where your propensities lie, where your capacities lie, and then you can fine-tune it more and more. But initially we all started with what? Pot washing, right? That was my first service. Go wash the pots. And so we humbly accept whatever service is given to us. I was sweeping the temple floor, I was washing pots and things like that. But I was so happy. I was so happy because I had come to Krishna consciousness. So anything that the devotees gave, I was happy to do it, you know. I was, of course, a PhD student in a Ivy League college and doing my PhD. But all that didn't matter. I was just happy to be in the temple with the devotees doing whatever menial service they wanted me to do. But of course, my Guru Maharaj could see my propensities, you know. I even said, I want to leave all this PhD. I will sit in the temple. I will wash utensils. I want to be at your lotus feet. I don't want to do this PhD program. Waste of my time. And Guru Maharaj said, no. Krishna has some plan. You have enrolled in the PhD. You have to complete it and you have to use that degree to serve devotees, which is ultimately what happened. But initially, we accept whatever service comes. And as the guru sees our propensities, because, hey, this is not cookie cutter philosophy, one t-shirt fits all. We all are unique individuals. Some of us have Vaishya propensities. We are very good at making money. Now you tell such a person, sit whole day and wipe the temple floor, he'll be bored out of his mind and it's a waste of his capacities. He can go out there and make Lakshmi for Krishna, right? Somebody else may be a kshatriya. They may be very interested in learning how to protect the temple, how to protect devotees. If there's something, an attack from outside, they want to be ready. That's a kshatriya mentality, right? Some of us are brahmanas. We like to read, we like to discuss philosophy, we like to understand the philosophy, we like to teach the philosophy. So we have some brahmanical inclination. Now you tell a brahmanical person that you go and sit in the shop and all the time deal with money, he's going to say, forget this, I don't like this money business, I want to study Shastra. So we want to make sure everyone is happy in their service by giving them something that they are naturally inclined, they have a talent for that, and then we help them to perfect that service. So it's not one size fits all. It's definitely geared towards bringing out your talents and capacities so that we want experts. We want expert cooks. We want expert drivers. We want expert lecturers. We want expert pujaris. We want expert everything. Dancing, singing, music, cooking, painting, whatever it may be. So we want you to blossom with all your talents and all your capacities and become very nicely situated in your devotional service.
Thank
Is that you. Helpful?
Thank you very much. I would just like to understand more about this statement that it's better to perform your own duty imperfect than to perform other duties perfect. So I don't quite understand in what sense. Is that according to the varna but or according to the position in the society or according to the timeless and circumstances service?
That is why it is so important for us to have shelter, so that we are not entering the realm of mental speculation, you know, and we are thinking, oh, maybe this, maybe that, maybe this, maybe that, maybe that. No, we follow the program, which is Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. We take the guidance and advice and loving instructions of seniors who understand, who know the nature of the devotee and who helps that devotee to come up more and more. So that particular verse which you quoted is very specific in terms of if you have been given a certain duty, like say I'm a grihastha. It is my duty to provide nicely for my family. I can say, oh, I want to be renounced. I want to be sannyasi. I'm going to renounce everything and go off and do something else. Because that's not what you have taken up. You have taken up grihastha ashram. You have to fulfill. In fact, if you successfully carry out your grihastha ashram, you reach vanaprastha ashram. You finish vanaprastha ashram, you reach sannyasa ashram. So all these stages of life are progressive. They are meant to take you higher and higher and higher. So following nicely the program of bhakti yoga will help you to make progress. Is that sitting well with you? Okay. This is my humble understanding. Feel free to Please give your wise and intelligent advice to Sabina, because you are so many more years ahead in all this. So if someone else would like to contribute and help Sabina, it would be nice. Anybody would like to say something more? What would Lalit Govind Prabhu like to say on this point? Because he's one of our spiritual pillars of this temple.
When we don't understand something, we just ask. And then slowly, slowly we will understand.
Mm.
More and more explanations we will get. And this is approach. So otherwise we will speculate, as you said.
Right, right. See, this is a very important thing, inquiry. Humbly inquiring and then getting the answers instead of entering the realm of speculation. Thank you. Thank you so much for that answer. Simple and straight. Thank you. Anything else? Okay. If there's nothing else, with your humble permission, we can end the class. Srila Prabhupada ki! Yeah.